listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks to help you save money and travel better. So I hope you tuned in last week to hear Jonathan Clarkson of Southwest Rapid Rewards talking about some of the recent program changes they've made. That was a great segment for folks to listen into, to hear straight from one of the biggest programs in the country and how they're making things better for their members. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, it's still available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Up this week, we've got Nick for the Frequent Miler doing a breakdown for us on some recent changes to a popular credit card. And then Jen is back from Deals We Like. Instead of a It's a Big Deal segment, we go a little bit longer in depth on her favorite subject, Southwest Airlines, and why now is the perfect time to be signing up for the Southwest credit cards and possibly scoring yourself a companion pass for 2 years. A little housekeeping before we get into the episode. If you don't mind, love it if you would subscribe to the podcast. You can do that in Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Should be a little button mark subscribe. And if you leave us a rating and a comment, we read all those comments, and those subscriptions and ratings help us expand the show and grow our audience. Tell a friend. We'd love to have them listen in. With all that, we'll get you right into the show.
Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Nick Reyes from Frequent Miler, who's his first time hanging out with us on the Miles to Go podcast. Hey, Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Ed?
I am doing good. And, you know, as folks who listen to the podcast on a regular basis know, I carry a lot of credit cards in my wallet, but I'm not an expert per se. I'm an expert by layman standards. But then there's these people that are, you know, like super master kung fu ninja level, which is why I wanted to bring you on to the podcast, because you really dial in on some of the cards that I don't have quite as much background on. And I think that there's, you know, a good, you know, if you'll say service announcement to folks on the City Prestige card, if they're carrying it, based on a couple of pretty substantial changes that just came out. Can you tee those up for folks?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So there are quite some quite substantial changes that are coming to the City Prestige card, both on the earnings side and on the earnings side, it's mostly pretty good news. Starting in January 4th, the card's going to begin earning 5 points per dollar at restaurants and on air travel and also through travel agencies. So at this point, we expect that that's going to apply to things like Expedia and Priceline and that sort of thing. So going to be 5X on all of that. And that's great because there's no foreign transaction fees, and it should code that way worldwide. It'll be 3X on cruise lines and hotels, and 2X on entertainment is going to end next August. So that's kind of a negative change as far as the earnings side goes. Then, of course, there's some on the flip side of that, some things. Well, perhaps one more positive, I guess I should also include the $250 annual credit right now. Is good for air travel purchases, but starting next year, starting in January, it's going to be available on all travel purchases. So it should work very similar to the way the travel credit works, for example, on the Sapphire Reserve. So that'll be a nice improvement in benefits there. On the flip side, some of the changes that perhaps are less positive is that the annual fee is increasing from $450 a year to $495 a year. So that'll start with your first annual fee. After September 1st of 2019, it'll increase. And the super unfortunate news for some of us fortunate folks is that there are a number of people who've been grandfathered into a $350 annual fee courtesy of having a City Priority account. And that's going to change. They're telling us that starting with your first annual fee after September 1st, 2019, it's going to go up to the $495 for anyone who doesn't have City Gold or City Private Bank. And those accounts require quite a bit of money on deposit with Citi. And then, of course, the last big zinger is that the fourth night free, which has been an incredible benefit on the card that's been unlimited use, is now going to be limited to just two uses a year. And even more important than that, it's going to be limited starting in September of 2019 to stays booked on thankyou.com. So you'll have to book it directly through thankyou.com. You'll no longer be able to book through the Prestige Concierge, which is a significant change because that means you won't be able to use AAA rates or your corporate codes or other different types of discount codes, and you won't earn loyalty points or loyalty credit or receive your loyalty benefits with those bookings. So those are the big changes coming next year. Luckily, we're getting quite a bit of notice. The positive earnings side changes are coming soon in January, and then the kind of more negative changes, I guess I'd say, are starting after September 1st.
Yeah, and we'll work backwards here because I do think the fourth night free is the bulletin board material here, and I know not everybody that has a City Prestige card maximizes it the way that you or I might, and that's sort of, you know, our hacking of the industry, if you will. But you know, it is and was a great benefit to get that fourth night free, and to be able to stack that if you had a hotel loyalty status and be able to use your loyalty benefits at the property, that was a real nice combination. And I, you know, the things I see that I think are most cumbersome there, you know, I would guess that the average person, which is, you know, not you and I from a travel standpoint, but the average person could probably be fine with, you know, 2 fourth night free bookings a year. I don't think the average family takes a lot more than 2 vacations. Mm-hmm. And I would say if they do take more than 2 vacations, there's a reasonable chance that they're not all 4 nights or longer. You know, we take a lot of long weekend sort of trips. Sure. But I think, you know, when you talk about things like free breakfast benefits and stuff like that, that may not translate with these bookings, you know, that can add up to eroding a significant amount of the cost. If you're talking about, I'll use my example of a family of four, you know, if our family of four was going to get a fourth night free, but now we end up paying for breakfast when I would have gotten it free before, that may nullify a big chunk of that fourth night free savings over the course of 4 days.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going to. I mean, that's a huge difference. Certainly, you say things like free breakfast, which are relatively easy to come by in some loyalty programs, as far as earning loyalty status or just buying it through having the right credit card, that will make a huge difference in your cost over the course of 4 nights. Not only that, but even those small things like being able to use the AAA rate, for instance, or being able to use a hotel promotion. Sometimes a particular Hyatt will run a deal where you use a promo code and you might get a fourth or fifth night free that you're able to stack with the fourth night free. Or I've written a couple of posts about stacking the fourth night free with a best rate guarantee and being able to utilize the hotel chain's best rate guarantee to get an even better deal. And not being able to do those things will certainly be a big hit. Folks who are Hyatt globalists will miss out on their free parking, which, I mean, that could make a huge difference in cost if you're staying in an expensive city. So yeah, it really, in my opinion, slaughters the value of the fourth night free. I would have been fine with a limitation to 2 times per year. I think that's pretty reasonable. You still get a ton of benefit out of it. Surely people who used it every month or every week will be disappointed, but I think 2 times a year is reasonable. But I think that limitation to booking through thankyou.com means I probably won't ever do it because it won't save me enough to make a difference. I could buy discountedhotels.com gift cards and probably get the same amount of savings that I would through the Prestige fourth night free if I can't also get access to my loyalty benefits.
Yeah, and you mentioned the annual fee, and it's interesting because you mentioned City Priority, and for many years I was a City Gold client, and you know, I got that way not because I'm independently wealthy, but way back in the day they used to count mortgages in the totals, and so I had a mortgage that qualified me for the threshold. Combined between that and my other banking that I did with City, I grew up banking with City, being from New York, and back then they used to waive all the credit card fees. It wasn't even a discounted fee. I paid nothing even for like the City Executive card, the, you know, $450 card from American Airlines.
I don't remember. Terrific deal, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great deal to hold on to those because they waived all the fees. You know, when you think about the value proposition here, and again, I understand it may not be this stark for everyone, but let's just assume that going forward, for a typical family, they're not going to be able to use fourth night free in a way that maximizes value on the card. So maybe they get something, but they're not going to save anywhere near as much as they used to. So when you think about the changes in earnings, you know, 5x on restaurants and travel, you know, along with the, you know, 3x on hotels and other stuff, you know, is this still a card to consider for a family when you consider the fee is going to be $495?
Yeah, you know, I honestly think it probably isn't anymore, and it's disappointing to say that because I've really liked this card and enjoyed having this card, not even so much for spending, but for the benefits that it comes with. And I think that's a disappointing change. But no, I think that probably the average family isn't going to find enough value because while this will offer 5X, for instance, on restaurants, there are other options on the market that offer as much as 4X on restaurants, you know, 4 points per dollar on restaurants that I think would probably also have other value for families that'll make more sense. You know, the exception would be, I guess, if you do a lot of traveling abroad and you spend a lot of your money on restaurants abroad, in which case this would be a good one to have for the 5X on restaurants outside of the United States, because some of those other options might be limited to U.S. restaurants. So I think, you know, that's something that perhaps could make a difference, but I doubt that that will outweigh the value of, for example, free breakfast for a family of four for 4 nights or 5 nights or 6 nights a year. I mean, yeah, you know, that's a hard one to beat out, I think. I think some of the benefits are still good. The cell phone insurance is kind of nice, except it doesn't give a category spending bonus for paying your cell phone bill. That's something else that's coming next year as well. But I don't necessarily think that that's compelling probably for most people, as there are other cards that offer it. So I don't think it does offer enough value, especially at $495 a year for a family. For someone maybe who can really hack it, you know, maybe they'll come out well. Or if they really like to stay at super high-end places, you know, if you're staying at a place that normally costs $1,000 a night and you can do a fourth night free, you know, perhaps you'll save enough money, even if it's not a huge percentage on the cost, perhaps you'll save enough money to weigh or to balance out the annual fee. But I think the average family now, it probably isn't a keeper.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. And, you know, my two cents, you know, is, you know, if you're a prestige holder and you're looking for cards to consider, I think one interesting pick potentially could be the new or the refreshed American Express Gold Card. The annual fee is a little bit more than half of what the new Citi Prestige fee will be, but you pick up some decent 4X categories. And for the typical family traveler, if you will, you know, who's spending around town, bonuses on supermarket and restaurants can be compelling categories, as well as the credits to help offset some of the annual fee for dining on a monthly basis. So,
right, right.
You know, I think there are options out there. I'm not sure that's the best one, but I would bet that you know, you could see some value in folks trading in their Citi Prestige for, you know, either the American Express Gold Card or something else in that vein that might get them more bang for their buck.
Right. I mean, that's what I was alluding to with, you know, cards that perhaps are limited to the U.S. because, of course, the downside on the 4X on restaurants with the Amex Gold is that it's limited to U.S. restaurants. So if you are traveling abroad, you're not going to get your 4X at restaurants. But I think certainly for the average family, that's a good example of a card that offers a lot more bang for the buck, because the average family is going to spend a decent amount of money at the grocery store every year and get 4X at U.S. supermarkets. And they're going to spend a decent amount on dining, I'm sure, if you've got a family of four, you know, four mouths to feed, it adds up. So I think that the earnings on a card like that will outpace the earnings on a card like the Prestige card. The fee is much less, and the ancillary benefits are pretty easy to use as well. So I think that that seems more manageable to me from a family travel aspect. You'll lose some of the privileges and benefits that come with a top-end card like the Prestige, but I don't think that those things are necessarily as useful for a family. Priority pass membership that comes with the Prestige with unlimited guests is nice, but I don't necessarily think you'll be able to even put that to use in all places. Some priority pass restaurants and things limit you to one or two guests. So if you have a family of four, then you need to have two priority passes between you. So I don't think it's as useful probably from a family travel standpoint as a card like the Amex Gold.
Yep, I tend to agree. You know, thanks a bunch for diving in deeply with us on Citi Prestige. It was great to have you on. Hopefully the next time that we have you on, it'll be on a bit of a happier subject as we bring people new and cool things as opposed to explaining to them why they need to pull the Citi Prestige card out of their wallet. And folks, if you're a fan of my other podcast, Now Boarding, you'll find Nick on there. Nick, when you're not hanging out with me on the podcast, tell folks where they can find you, blog, social media, all that good stuff.
Sure, you can find me at Frequent Miler. So that's thefrequentmiler.com. So the frequentmiler.com. You can find me specifically on Twitter, Nick at FM. So it's, of course, the at symbol at the front and then Nick at FM for Frequent Miler. And certainly you can find us in the Frequent Miler Insiders Facebook group. If you'd like to join that, you can just look that up on Facebook, Frequent Miler Insiders. And when you join, I think you have to answer a question about where you'd like to go for your next trip. That's just to authenticate, make sure you're a real human being. And then we'll get you added to the group. And you can always find me and Greg and lots of other people who are passionate about this kind of thing and some very helpful folks in terms of getting your questions answered. So those are the best places to find me.
Awesome, guys. We'll have links to all that in the show notes if you need more information, including Nick's very detailed post on the City Prestige card. Nick, thanks a bunch for being on the show with us today.
Thank you very much. It was great to be here.
All right, guys. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Hey, well, we're taking a break from the show. I wanted to tell you about a new travel podcast that one of my friends just launched. The We Travel There podcast covers a different destination each week in 30 minutes or less. The host, Lee Huffman, finds experts on each area and does a deep dive into each destination. We Travel There will help you find the best surfing spots on Oahu and the Penguin Parade in Melbourne, Australia. He's already covered a couple of my favorite places to visit, like Hong Kong and Vancouver. Find We Travel There on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you find great podcasts. Now, back to the show. Back on the Miles to Go podcast to talk a little bit more about Southwest Airlines and why this is a great time of year to be thinking about picking up a Southwest Airlines credit card. Back on the show with me is Jen from Deals We Like, who is a huge Southwest fan and has had the Southwest Airlines Companion Pass for 376 years now. Jen?
Yeah, I never get old. And it's been around for that long, along with Southwest. So it's been awesome. Yes, but realistically, 10 plus years I've had the pass. I've kind of lost track.
10 plus, well, it's probably more like 12 or, probably more like 12 or 13 at this point, because I think you and I recorded a year ago and it was 10 plus.
Maybe. I kind of lost track, and I actually put a post together at the beginning of this year about how I've earned it every single year. And at times I did lose track a little bit. So I'm not 100% sure, but let's say, you know, a dozen years. Let's do that.
All right, the dozen, and so as we hit a dozen, you know, I just saw on your blog that that we've got some new increased sign up bonuses out there for the Southwest credit cards.
Absolutely. So right now, all four Southwest credit cards are offering up to 60,000 points as their sign up bonus. The three personal cards have actually a pretty high minimum spend requirement to get the full 60,000 points. It's kind of a tiered promotion. Well, you'll receive 40,000 points after you just spend $1,000 on the card, which is pretty great. But then to receive the additional 20,000 points, you got to spend $12,000 within the first year. So 12,000 might sound like a lot of money, but it's actually only $1,000 a year if you break it down to that 12-month, you know, time frame.
Yeah.
So it's not so bad. I mean, I know people see 12,000 and they kind of freak out, but you have an entire year where some other credit cards, you know, business credit cards sometimes offer sign up bonus for the same number of points, but you got to hit $12,000, $10,000 within just 3 months. So this isn't actually so bad as I think people are seeing it to be, but get you up to 60,000 points. And with Chase cards, we have seen that tiered bonus. So I do think this is going to become more of the norm. And then the personal card, though, the business card is the same sign up bonus that we've seen for quite a while now, where you'll receive the same 60,000 bonus points with only 3,000 spent in the first 3 months. So all four cards offering up to 60,000 points, which is pretty great. And it's nice that there are four different Southwest credit card options for everyone out there. Although with that being said, you cannot apply for one of the cards if you've received a sign-up bonus within the past 24 months or if you're a current card member. But since all four are different products, let's say you had the plus version of the card 23 months ago, you're no longer a card member, you now are eligible to apply and receive the sign-up bonus upon approval for the Premier card. So they all are their different products. The one thing that Chase put in place last year, probably the beginning of this year, is that you can no longer have two personal card open at any given time. So you're allowed to have the personal card and the business card open, but if you want to apply for a new personal card, you'll have to close your prior personal card because you can't have two open at once, which is an interesting move on Chase's part.
It is an interesting move, and I think it's also interesting that they're giving up to a year to earn the sign-up bonus, because it's sort of implicitly another encouragement to folks to spend sort of like everyday spend on the card.
Right.
And I guess they're trying to figure out if it'll help keep folks actively engaged on the card. And I think, you know, not that I'm trying to discourage people from being actively engaged on the card, because I do think that these are good offers and good potential earning options for folks who know that they're going to fly Southwest. You know, but the other reason why $12,000 isn't that much is if you really get down to thinking about things like cell phone bills and potential utilities and things like that you're already paying maybe out of your bank account, those are good ways to sort of accelerate your way to that $12,000 in spend. You know, the only thing I caution you on is if you're not 100% sure you're going to spend those points on Southwest, these can be great cards for the sign-up bonus and maybe for some occasional spend, but you may get more value out of a flexible currency card like Chase Ultimate Rewards, like a Chase Sapphire or something like that, where you can transfer the points to Southwest, but you could also move them to hotels or other things like that.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, I personally love accruing Southwest points, not only because I fly with them, but because of the flexibility of the points you earn. And I know we've covered that in the past on these podcasts, but essentially with Southwest, if you use your points and you need to cancel, you have up to 10 minutes prior to the flight departure to cancel with 100%, you know, no fee.
Yep.
They put the points right back into your account and that's it. There's no other, you know, requirements or anything that you need to cancel your flight. It's really easy. So that is one perk where your dollar, you know, your points earn kind of have a little bit more value, maybe not in a dollar standpoint, but in some of those benefits. And actually, earlier this year, Southwest introduced a new card. So the Priority credit card.
Right.
And that's one that, you know, is new for members pretty much. So you might have had the other cards in the past, but this might be a card that you have not yet had in your wallet. And essentially, the benefits that come along with it pay for your annual fee plus more. So this one's actually like a no-brainer if you're going to go ahead and you want to earn your Southwest points. So it's a great card to have. You'll automatically receive a $75 Southwest credit every year. You'll receive 7,500 bonus points every year. I value that at least $100. So with that being said, you're already ahead of the game with your $149 annual fee, which is nice. So that's just in a dollar value you're gaining. Then not only that, you'll receive these four upgrading boarding passes. So for those that fly Southwest, you know that you get a boarding pass based on your check-in time, you know, 24 hours in advance. But if you go up to the counter, you can purchase for about $40-$50 an A1 through A15 boarding pass, which is expensive, really expensive. And I've never done that. But it's great if you want to make sure you want to board the plane first. You want that seat, you know, your specific seat, you're with your family or whatever your reasons might be. This one will come with four complimentary boarding passes a year. So there just needs to be one of those 15 slots available when you go ahead and check in at the counter, and then it's yours. So there's not an actual value perk on that, because I wouldn't say that's giving you $200 of value, because you might not otherwise, you know, purchase that $50 upgraded pass, but that's just a nice additional perk.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned a little bit ago about how the points go right back into your account when you cancel a flight. And, you know, you were on, you know, about a month and a half ago talking about that Southwest had made that change. And, you know, I think it's great that something that used to be free to redeposit then changed back the other way, and there were these flights were being made non-refundable. Now you know, everything is changeable and refundable. There's no restrictions,
right?
And so you don't have to jump through hoops, which makes, again, those Southwest points even more usable, more friendly. And I recently had the chance to sit down with Jonathan Clarkson, who, among other things, runs the Southwest Rapid Rewards program. And he had some pretty interesting things to say about why they made that change back. So you should definitely look for that segment here on the podcast as well. I think it's great to see Southwest continue to try and focus on the customer. You know, and as we get to the end of the year here, you know, Jen, you've been writing about and obviously is a big proponent of the companion pass, why you think this is the best time of year to be applying for Southwest credit cards.
Absolutely. So as Ed and I spoke about at the beginning of this podcast, I love the Southwest Companion Pass. For those who are not aware of what the Companion Pass is, it allows a friend, family member, complete stranger, it doesn't matter who it is, to fly with you for free. You just pay the minimal taxes for that flight. And it's, you can use that in a limited number of times for the length of the Companion Pass. So if you earn the Companion Pass, for example, January of 2019, the Companion Pass will not expire until December 31st of 2020. So that can give you almost up to 2 years of having someone else fly with you for free, which is amazing. And not only that, you can use your points to purchase your own ticket and have your companion still with you, fly with you for free. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer in my mind, as long as you live in a Southwest hub and you have good options. I know not everyone lives convenient to a Southwest airport, but I live relatively close to Providence and Boston. And although I have to stop in Baltimore sometimes for flights, it's still, it's easy. It's great. I love it. And I think it's the best airline for my family, but everyone has their own take on Southwest, I guess, but I'm a huge proponent of it. So the reason why right now is the best time to apply is because the sign-up bonus that I just talked about, those points that you earn actually count towards the number of points you needed for the for the Companion Pass. So the Companion Pass requires you to earn 110,000 qualifying points within a calendar year. And those 60,000 points that you can earn go straight towards those 110,000 points, which is amazing. You're already halfway there if you apply for one of the cards. And if you're eligible for both the personal and business, that will get you 120,000 points, which will automatically get you the Companion Pass.
Yeah, it's a great time, as you mentioned, because, you know, if you get it at the beginning of 2019, you'll have it for all of 2019 and all of 2020, which is awesome. And being able to do that with just applying for two credit cards is, it's got to be the best deal in travel right now. It has to be.
All right. So even though we keep on saying that you want to earn the Companion Pass in 2019 and the credit cards offers are now in 2018, you can still apply for the cards now. You just want to make sure not to hit that minimum spend requirement until January 1st, 2019 or later. The points will not post your account until a few days after you meet that minimum spend. So the statement credit of where you meet the minimum spend. So if you were to earn the points now, they'd post in 2018. You do not want that to happen. The points will reset come January 1st. So make sure to not hit the $40,000 point minimum spend threshold and the 60,000 point minimum spend threshold until 2019. You can spend up until, you know, $999 if you'd like. And then come January 1st, spend that last remaining dollar and the 40,000 points will not post until 2019. And then when you go ahead and hit that $12,000 mark, they'll continue to post in 2019. Now, if you can only earn one of the cards, there's many other ways to earn the remaining points. And I have ton of them listed out on my blog. So I know Ed will include that blog post in the show notes. So those are many other ways, such as car rentals, just regular credit card spend using the online shopping portal. So Southwest has its own online shopping portal where you'll earn Southwest points on every purchase you make online through your regular shopping needs, which is one of my preferable ways to earn points towards the Companion Pass. And those are pretty much the main ways. So unfortunately, Southwest got rid of a lot of the loopholes a few years ago on points that count. So the ways to earn are definitely less, but it's still doable.
Yeah, there's still plenty of ways to do it. And that's the big thing, is that if you want to get the Companion Pass, there's a bunch of different ways to do it. Now is a great time to do it, not just because of the increased sign-up bonuses, but because we're getting near the end of the year where you could leverage 2 years of Companion Pass instead of one, which is exactly what I did when I got the Companion Pass a couple of years ago. Only downside for me is I just don't have as many flights as I'd like out of my home airport of Washington Dulles, but I'll keep clicking my heels and wishing for that. Jen, thanks a ton for being on with us this week. Tell folks where they can find you when you're not on the podcast.
Thanks, Ed, for having me. You can find me at my blog at dealswelike.com and then also Twitter, Facebook, and I'm starting to get onto Instagram a little bit more, and everything's at dealswelike.
All right, guys, there's everything you need to know about Southwest Airlines. We'll be right back to the podcast.
Back to wrap up this week's episode of the Miles to Go podcast. We just got through Cyber Monday and Black Friday, and while there was a bunch of travel tech on sale, there were also a bunch of good travel sales. In fact, One of them, if you're listening to this the day that our episode goes live on Wednesday, is still alive. The Delta Cyber Monday sale goes through today, Wednesday, with a bunch of different deals. You know, some of them aren't great, but there were some really solid award tickets to Australia, a few here and there in the U.S., a couple in Europe, and some Caribbean stuff. So definitely something to take a look at. At any rate, the reason why I want to bring this up was I did see a couple of comments, one on my blog and another on Twitter, about how people were disappointed because they don't usually find what they're looking for in these award sales. And you know, I do understand that not every city is in every award sale, but the reality is that I saw, you know, more comments from folks about finding something great than I did complaints. And so I think the point is, if you're looking to take a vacation and stretch those miles further, you need to look into all the big sales that come down, and we try to report on as many of them as you can, as we can here. If you're a family traveler, then you definitely need to be looking at this, because if something was normally going to cost you, you know, 60,000 miles round trip to fly to Europe, and it's on sale for 45,000, well, gosh, I mean, that stretches out much further across multiple tickets. So I think it's just a good time to remind everyone that not every sale is going to be right for you. It doesn't take a long time to look, but if you're thinking about travel that you've got coming up, it's always a good idea to keep an eye on these things. And referring back to that Delta sale one more time, I think a good example there is, you know, the award sale for Australia actually stretches to the end of June of 2019. So you've got some summer, quote-unquote-ish, time in there in April as they transition over to their fall and winter in May and June. So lots of good times to pick there, some spring break time for the U.S., and then just getting to the end of the school year. So if you're thinking about trying to take your family to Australia, which is something that I'm doing next year, then this Delta sale could be a great fit for you. So just keep your eyes open and you know, be looking for opportunities to stretch those miles out. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. If you're enjoying the show, I hope you'll take just a moment to subscribe to the podcast. You should have a little button inside Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. If you subscribe, you'll get our episodes downloaded free to your podcast app the day we publish them every single time. And if you leave us a rating and a comment, those things help us grow the show, and we really appreciate that. Very thankful to both Nick and Jen for helping make a great show this week. We're already working on next week's show, but until then, we've got miles to go.